Hey, I'm Bex, and this is Fun Kids Meet, the podcast where we meet your heroes. This week, I caught up with presenter and author Dermot O'Leary. We spoke all about his new book, Wings of Glory, and why he chose to write about animals in the Second World War. All right, we are joined by a friend of the show, presenter and author Dermot O'Leary. Yeah, Dermot, how you doing?
Hello. Tip top, how are you?
It's been a long time, man. And you've been a busy man. You've brought us a new book.
Just thinking that. When's the last time I spoke to you?
It's been over a year. I was thinking you were avoiding me, to be honest.
After that last interview.
Yeah.
I'm never going back.
Done and done.
Thank you. I've loved doing this book. Where are we now? I probably finished it at the start of the year.
Right.
And then you sort of send it off. And then loads of questions come back. Like, why have you done this? is this true? Is this historically accurate? I love every stage of it, to be honest with you. It's such an enjoyable thing to do.
So if the listeners don't know, we've gone from cats to birds. You love an animal. And this is Wings of Glory, let's go back to it then. Is it historically accurate, Dermot? How much of this have you researched properly?
No. During the Second World War, what a lot of people don't know is that the animals were fighting on our behalf,
mm-hmm.
and with some notable exceptions. And we had a prime minister. So whilst Winston Churchill was in charge, the animal prime minister was Sir Bertie Bulldog.
Yeah.
And Bertie Bulldog signed an official secrets act. They didn't want any records to be disclosed up until now about Linus the Swift and Linus's incredible actions during the Battle of Britain when he signed up for the Royal Bird Force. So the story is, true story, that Linus the Bird and his sister, Linus the Swift and his sister Ava, were born in Kent and then they migrated down to sub-Saharan Africa. And then during the war, the call went out for all birds of a flying age and especially speedsters, and the Swift is one of the speediest birds there is, to come back and fight on the front line to harass the German enemy planes coming over by any means necessary. But basically, the mantra of the Royal Bird Force was, in poo we trust. So the idea is they have to use their poo as much as they can on the enemy windshields, on the planes. The planes then get distracted, and then the actual human RAF can come and mop up after all their hard work. So Linus signs up for to be in the Royal Bird Force. But when he gets here, he's desperate. He wants to fight on the front line because he's a Swift and they're the fastest birds, but equally fast are the Peregrine Falcons. And so he wants to fight in the squadron of Peregrine Falcons, but they won't have him because he's not a kind of blue blood, because the Peregrines are very much considered the proper flying boys and girls. So Linus ends up in a squadron with a magpie who steals everything,
sure.
An owl who won't get out of bed before 8 in the evening. So he ends up in this ragtag squadron, but somehow he ends up being pivotal to world history.
Well, should we just stop the interview there? Should we just done and done?
I do feel like I've actually just told you probably a bit too much.
No, I love it. No, that was such a cracking summary of the book, because we meet Linus the Swift, him and his sister Ava. They go off to the UK to try and fight for country and king and country. Linus is so excited. And also, like you say, he's a very quick bird, right? And at first, people don't take him seriously.
Yeah, he's almost too quick. And also, he's very young and is very raw. And all he wants to do is come over and fly with the Peregrine Falcons. And of course, he isn't a peregrine, and so he can't do what they do, but also they can't do what he does. So I love that about it. Like, I love my birds. I've always been a sort of keen bird watcher. And my best friend Joe, my oldest friend Joe, he got me into birds when I was about 11, and I've always loved them ever since. So writing for the books about Toto was wonderful, and I love the fact to create a world where the animals have got their own transport system,
yeah.
And government and police and all those sort of things is so interesting. And actually, sort of, that's what was cool, almost my starting point, because I haven't finished my Toto books, but I thought, well, what else do I want to write about? And I love history, and the Second World War is sort of my favorite part of history. But maybe I don't quite know why. I like the idea of ordinary people put in extraordinary circumstance. And I love the idea of, it's quite recent history. So for me, my grandparents' generation would have been part of it. For a lot of your listeners, it would be the great grandparents' generation. But, my father grew up in Ireland, but in the 40s. So he grew up, being aware of what was going on in the Second World War. So it's not that long ago, is my point. And it's kind of recent history and these incredible stories, you know, that you can read about, that humans kind of, you know, this kind of normal everyday people suddenly put in life-changing circumstance. I find that absolutely fascinating. And we always ask the question, what would I have done? Mm. And then I thought, well, I really enjoy writing for kids and through the prism and the personification of it, like animals. So hang on, why don't I do that? Why don't I take my love of history and combine the two? So it's kind of, there will be actually echoes in the books coming forward. There'll be echoes of kind of the people that went before Toto who worked for the government.
So you tell us in the book, you mention a pilot as well called Ginger. Was he real? Because I noticed at the back you kind of left a note.
I did, yeah. So Ginger was based on, or really inspired by a lovely man I met a few years ago. I did a documentary about the Battle of Britain, and his name is Tom Neal, Tom Ginger Neal. And Tom, sadly, has passed away now, but he did live to a very ripe old age. He was well into his 90s. And I met him when he was about 94. And Tom was a very sharp, funny, warm. He was a fighter pilot, so he was what you could, he was almost a triple ace, I think. So I think to be an ace, I believe, I'm not an expert on this, but you need to shut down 5 planes. And then Tom was almost a triple ace. So it was almost shut down 14, which, you know, I've been lucky enough to be up in a Spitfire and a Hurricane. And let me tell you, when you're up in the air, the idea of flying it is hard enough, and being in it is hard enough. The idea of trying to shoot someone else down and not get shot down yourself would be extraordinary. It was so hard. So Tom was this incredible pilot, and he told me these wonderful, brilliant stories and quite sometimes quite scary and harrowing stories as well. And I spent this very magical summer with him in 2015, so I wanted to pay a bit of homage to him.
It is such a lovely bit in the book, because every now and again he pops up with his kind of remarks and his thoughts about what's happening. Because, of course, from the human's point of view, like you say in the book, not all of the humans know that the birds and the animals are helping out. He must have been like, this is weird.
Hardly any. In the book, there's like prime ministers, presidents, heads of the army and the air force and the navy and some royalty are told. And they're sworn to secrecy. And if they betray that trust, then a squadron of pigeons is on standby to basically make their life hell in the only way pigeons can.
Yeah.
By pooing on their heads every single day. So that's the threat that hangs over them for the rest of their life. So the secret's kind of is safe with them. So not many people know. So whilst all these extraordinary things are happening to Ginger in the book, all he thinks is, it's just luck or coincidence or fate or, you know, serendipity or something. But actually, in actual fact, the birds are there doing a great job and saving him from many scrapes.
I did love the pigeon bit, because my uncle keeps pigeons. He races them. So he has a little pigeon loft at the bottom of his garden. So I feel an affinity with anybody who mentions pigeons. When I was a kid, we used to have to take them on holiday with us. We'd have a basket of pigeons to take on holiday. And I thought that's what everybody took on holiday with them until I was like surprisingly old. I just thought that was a thing everyone did.
How old?
Like, I want to say 11, which feels too old to not realise that you don't take pigeons on holiday. Just a bit too old, you know?
I love to sit in that conversation at school. So are you taking your pigeons to France with you? And your friend's like, what are you talking about?
You know, toothbrush, toothpaste, pigeons. Like, that basket was in our car all the time.
That's so funny and so sweet.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you put pigeons in there, because like I say, I do feel an affinity with them. And Linus is such a fun character, because he's like you say, he's young, he's quirky, he's enthusiastic. And I don't want to spoil it, but like, he's worthy of a lot of accolades, I would say.
Yeah, he is. And he's a lovely character. And he's, you know, he's kind of, he's like Toto. He's absolutely, his heart's in the right place. And he's central to your storyline. And when you've got your lead is when you write a book, I'm sure a lot of your listeners write and have great ideas for stories. And where I tend to find the lead is kind of obviously the spine of the book and the story. But it's quite often your peripheral characters are almost more fun to write, like your baddies your comedy characters, you know, because they just give you, like in the Toto books, I love writing for Archduke Ferdicat. Like, he's, in many ways, he's one of my favourite characters. It's like Toto's sworn enemy. But as the books have evolved, Toto's realised that all he wants to do is run the world. He's not particularly evil as such. He's quite stressed by the fact that humans run the world, and he thinks he can do a better job.
Just want some power.
He just thinks the animals would do a better job than humans of running the world. And to be honest, a lot of Toto's friends, and Toto included, kind of agree with him. But it's just they can't abide at how he goes about it. So similarly, in this book, you know, like I said, this is the first one, so the characters haven't evolved. I think the next book will be different characters, but a similar world, and there might be a little bit of crossover.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's amazing. So something to look out for where you've got like Easter eggs from the first book in the second one.
Yes, exactly that, yeah.
Now, I did, Dermot, I'm not going to lie to you, I've made up a silly game and I wondered whether you'd play it with me.
Of course, the answer is yes.
Thank you. It was inspired by your book. It's called, bear with me on this. It's called Taylor Swift or A Swift Tale. I'm going to give you a fact and you have to tell me whether it's about Taylor Swift, a Swift, or both. Are you okay with this?
Hang on, what? I'm okay with it, right? It's the both I'm now excited about.
Okay, first up, this is pretty easy. We'll ease you in gently. What has tiny feet and almost no legs? Is it Taylor Swift or a Swift or both?
Tiny feet and almost legs. Well, I mean, with the greatest respect to Taylor, mm-hmm. I believe she does have feet and she definitely has legs. So let's go with the bird, a Swift.
Congratulations. You see, there you go. It's as easy as that.
Yes.
Yeah, well done. This one might be a bit trickier. Known to spend several months of the year in Britain.
That's both.
Yeah, it's both. Okay, you're getting it now. All right, lovely stuff.
Very good.
Okay, often flies at 552 miles per hour. This is a bit trickier.
I think that's Taylor Swift, because I don't think that Swift can fly that fast.
It is indeed Taylor Swift, because she has her own Falcon 900 private jet. There you go. I'm doing my research on Taylor Swift.
Well, I knew Swift can fly fast, but I was like, I don't think they can fly 500 miles an hour.
Probably going for it. Who spends a lot of time living around trees? Is it Swifts, Taylor Swift, or both?
I'm going to say Taylor Swift, because Swifts spend almost all of their time up in the air catching insects. They fly on the wing. So, I mean, I've taken a bit of artistic license in the book, like they land, but they don't really land. So I would say, unless the Swifts would be flying around to catch insects, I'm going to go Taylor Swift.
You know what? I would have taken very many answers for that one, but I'm going to give you that one because Taylor Swift grew up on a Christmas tree farm. So yeah, she spent a lot of time around trees. But you're right. Swifts have a lot on the wing. They often are known to be like nesting in trees, but yeah, I'm going to give you that. So it's going pretty well for you, Dermot. This is the last one. What rarely touches the ground? Is it Swifts, Taylor Swift, or both? And I will take physical and metaphorical interpretations of this.
I mean, I'd say both, for the simple reason that Taylor Swift is everywhere, and so therefore she's, you know, her feet never touch the ground. That's a kind of saying. And Swift definitely rarely ever touch the ground, because like we just said, they spend so much of their time as high up. And sometimes they go over to France even when they're here. If they can't catch their dinner and the conditions are wrong, they might even fly up to northern France. Well, that's sometimes when you see them, when the pressure is like low pressure, so there's clouds, you see them come right down. But sometimes they can be so high up. So when the weather's good. So let's go both.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah, I love that answer. That was the one I wanted you to give, was that technically both of them do. Also, I love the idea of flying to France for my dinner. How delightful that would be. Dermot, you passed my test
with
flying colours. Thank you so much for doing that. And thank you for playing my game and telling me all about your brand new book. Wings of Glory, by the way, is out the 15th of September. Is that right?
Yeah, 14th, I think. Mid-September. Let's just call it mid-September.
Give or take a day. People can pre-prepare for it. It's fine.
Exactly.
Brilliant, Dermot. Well, thank you so much for chatting to us.
Thank you. My absolute pleasure.
That was Dermot O'Leary. I love chatting to him about Wings of Glory. He's one of my favourite guests ever at Fun Kids. Remember, if you love this podcast, you can listen to Bookworms for all of the news about the best book releases and interviews with some of your favourite authors as well.